You're listening to the Nonprofit Build Up Podcast, and I'm your host, Nick Campbell. I want to support movements that can interrupt cycles of injustice and inequity and shift power towards vulnerable and marginalized communities. I've spent years working in and with nonprofits and philanthropies, and I know how important infrastructure is to outcomes. On this show, we'll talk about how to build capacity to transform the way you and your organization work.
So you both talked about Build Up Inc. working globally. And so I'd love to hear, how many projects do you all have at this point? What are you looking to grow to, you know, within the next year? The year 2024 is almost here. And what does it look like to operate internationally for Build Up Inc.?
Okay, so both Amanda and I have very international backgrounds just in the work that we've done, in our passions, et cetera. Oh, and we both came on board Build Up Inc. like within a month of each other. So I think from the very beginning, we were in sync with the idea that Build Up Inc. has to grow internationally. And so the question is, what does that look like? And initially, one thing that we realized as we were getting inquiries from international organizations, so from non-US-based organizations, one of the main things that they were looking for was fundraising. So you get, I would say, sort of like two different camps of international-based organizations. One camp would be an organization that is sort of well-established in their country or just outside of the United States, but they have had a difficult time being able to raise funds from U.S. entities. Because if you're not a 501c3 organization, then it becomes difficult to receive donations from individuals or even to apply for certain large fundings. The other thing that we've seen is that you might have organizations that we would call them sort of like zero budget organizations here in the US, in that they are highly motivated, they're doing a lot of work, but they've not been able to raise a lot of funds. And so we wanted to be in a position to work with organizations of both types and be able to provide the types of resources that would be useful to them. So we spent a lot of time figuring out how we can improve our fundraising resources that we can provide to organizations. But beyond that, we wanted to make sure that they would be able to tap into our existing capacity building resources, because the same things apply. So if we're providing resources on strategic governance or on how do you build your leadership or how do you reach out to donors and that sort of thing, how do you build your advisory board? All of that is very critical for international organizations as well. And then the last thing I'll say on that is, when we're looking at sort of globally, what do we want this to look like? And when we look at what are our founding principles here, when Amanda mentioned that BIPOC-led and women-led organizations face so many challenges in the United States in terms of their ability to obtain funding, well, the reality is still true internationally, even, and it might be hard to imagine, but certain organizations, like a locally founded organization, particularly in Black and Brown countries, statistically has a harder time raising funds than an international organization within that country. And so that is an issue of inequity, and that's something that we want to be in a position to address. So when we're looking at expanding internationally right now, absolutely starting off with being able to give access to U.S. fundraising markets, so to speak, for international organizations. But honestly, when we're looking at expanding, we plan to do more. We want to be able to do accelerators in Africa and in the Caribbean. We want to be able to do more with actual fundraising and with grant making. So, you know, I might be forecasting out a couple of years out or several years out into the future, but we do see ourselves very heavily involved in being able to work with international organizations.
That is really, really wonderful. And it sounds like, again, this planful approach to the work, which I think is really needed, particularly when you're working with organizations that are smaller, are newer to the space, but are doing amazing, impactful work. So I really appreciate the approach. And when you're thinking about fundraising, you talked about that, Ajani, with Giving Tuesday just around the corner here in the United States. And just generally, I wonder if you could talk about what kinds of support do you think Build Up Inc. needs right now, what would be most helpful? How can people learn more about Build Up Bank, get involved?
That's a great question, Nick. So we've talked a lot about our focus on BIPOC-led and women-led projects. And Build Up Inc. is a Black woman-led organization. We've only been in operation for a year and a half at this point. And because we are so focused on, you know, grassroots types of organizations that are women-led and BIPOC-led, this means that we're not able to raise, and I'll take a step back. So as a fiscal sponsor, we raise revenue through the administrative fees that we charge our sponsored projects, right? But a lot of our projects are small startups or they're small scale projects that are still growing. And that means they're still receiving limited funding, which means that Build Up Inc. cannot sustain itself just on fiscal sponsorship fees. And that means that Build Up Inc. is also in need of fundraising, right? We need the support from individuals. We need support from philanthropies. And one of our goals this year was to make sure that we develop a fundraising plan. We're currently in the final stages of doing that, and we're very excited to start 2024 with a fundraising goal and plan and to implement that. And in the meantime, we'd like to let people know that we will be having Giving Tuesday campaign that is really focused on raising some funds for Build Up Inc., right? Our goal at this time is to raise just about $1,000 through Giving Tuesday, and for our end of year campaign, hopefully hit $4,000. If anyone is interested in supporting Build Up Inc., they could find more information on the Build Up Company's website. We have a donation link on the Build Up Inc. page. You can find us on LinkedIn as well. We have a Build Up Company's LinkedIn page. Please just feel free to read more about Build Up Inc. In the coming weeks, we are going to post more about our Giving Tuesday campaign, our end of year campaign. We're going to highlight the work that we've been doing, the work that our projects are doing. But the goal is to make sure that as Build Up Inc., we're able to not only sustain ourselves, but to continue to provide the services that we are providing to our sponsored projects. We want to keep our focus on projects that are really looking for the support to scale. They are, again, projects that have limited resources. And so we would also love support of others so that we could do this work. And I know that Ajani is going to add something to this as well.
Okay, so thank you, Amanda. Leading up to Giving Tuesday, because if you're still wondering, like, well, who are these projects that, that Build Up Inc. is referring to? Like, if they're so great, like, tell me about them. Leading up to Giving Tuesday, you go to the LinkedIn page. It's going to be on the Build Up Company's LinkedIn page. Leading up to it, we are going to be featuring a different sponsored project each day going up to Giving Tuesday. That way, you're going to be able to learn a lot more about the types of projects that we bring on, such as, like, Lioness Jiwa, which is a Texas-based organization led by currently and formerly incarcerated girls, women, and gender-expansive people with the sole purpose of ending the incarceration and systematic devaluing of girls, women, and gender-expansive people within the criminal legal system. That's us. That is a project that we are sponsoring. We also have I Am Pro Se. That's an organization. It's a one-woman organization that works to eradicate and prevent domestic violence within the Black community. And they are also focused in Texas. That is us. That is Build Up Inc. So we have lots of other organizations, and you're going to be able to read about them on LinkedIn in the days leading up to Giving Tuesday. And I'll also add, I believe that this is going to air after Giving Tuesday. So when this comes on and you're listening to this, you've not missed the Giving Tuesday opportunity, because we are talking about fundraising and really adding capacity is the way I think about it. So we're talking about adding capacity for Build Up Inc. and for these organizations throughout the end of the year. So when this airs, I want you to go back to the LinkedIn page and go back to those posts, because that information is still going to be relevant. It's still going to be awe-inspiring. And those organizations are still going to be doing amazing things. And we want to make sure that you learn about them.
Well, that's perfect. I was going to ask that question about, it just sounds like a great place for grassroots organizations, organizations that want that kind of capacity building support, and whether you could share, like, what does a project look like within Build Up Inc? So thank you for sharing those examples. And you mentioned that both of you started around the same time. And so I just wondered if you could talk very briefly about how long has Build Up Inc really been up and running, so to speak? And now that we've talked about all of the work that you've been doing, the services that you offer, the projects that you have fiscally sponsored and are providing capacity building services for, what are your immediate priorities as you step into 2024, right? So how long have you been up and running, and what are the immediate priorities given everything that we've discussed so far?
So Amanda and I came on board, I want to say it was March and April, respectively, of last year. So Build Up Inc has been up and running strong, I think, since that point. And within that time, I mean, our focus in the immediate term since we started was really on building a strong foundation for Build Up Inc for us to be able to grow and really figure out what is our direction, what does capacity building look like, what do our fiscal sponsorship services look like, who are the types of clients or the types of projects that we want to be able to work with. So we spent a lot of time on that and really developing that process. And of course, we are still developing it and fine-tuning it. But that was sort of, you know, within that first year and a half or so of what we've been doing. Throughout 2023, we have grown more than we've anticipated, which is a great thing. We've brought on an excellent number of projects, and we are currently working to bring on 4 more before the end of the year. So that would bring our total number to 13 projects by the end of the calendar year, over about, I think, almost 30% of them being international. And so when we're looking at 2024, we're looking at a few things. One is we really want to strengthen our offerings and our ability to service international sponsored projects and really make sure that we are in a position to provide them the types of resources that they need across the board. 2, we want to make sure that with all of our projects, we're really beefing up our capacity building services. We've done an excellent job by introducing the bi-monthly workshop series. We want to increase that and make sure that we're really making sure to provide the type of information that the projects are looking for. We want to look at our in-house library and really start expanding that and making sure that when our projects look in there, they're finding exactly the things that they need so that they are able to grow and thrive. So I think those are some of our immediate priorities. And of course, fundraising, because now that we have a better handle on what it is that we do and what Build Up Inc represents and who our projects are and what they do, we want to be able to have the funding to really make sure that we can provide the services that would enhance our sponsored projects.
That makes a lot of sense. I can't believe you've done all of what you've been describing in just a year. And I think setting up those priorities for 2024 and beyond is spot on given what you all have explained. And, you know, I think this is a fascinating conversation and I would love to keep going. And I'm sure that we'll do a part 2 because what I'm hearing you talk about is essentially a different way to do fiscal sponsorship, right? And I think that it is so needed for our community-centered organizations, our grassroots organizations that are looking for additional support, a different kind of support. And I'm very fascinated with how you all are working and how you all are approaching the work. So I'm very excited to see like what this new fiscal sponsorship model can look like, this new way of doing fiscal sponsorship, including fundraising, right? Thinking about how do we raise funds within this space in a different way when we're working with organizations and leaders that might have traditionally or historically been left out of the conversation. So I'm sure that we have lots more to talk about on this. But Tim,
go ahead. I'm sorry, because I've been dying to bring up something on this very point. And maybe it does belong in part 2. But I just think it's so critical to what you were just saying about like a different kind of fiscal sponsorship. And Amanda pointed this out to me like earlier on, just in terms of the way that our projects seek to interact with us versus the way that they have had to interact with other fiscal sponsors in the past. And when they come to us, when they are looking, they're looking for a partner, someone to build with them. So, you know, we use the term relational, right? We want to be able to work with sponsored projects. And I'll give a very specific example. And this kind of just, this is going a little bit into the weeds on it. But early on with at least one of the projects, when we were sort of negotiating the sponsorship agreement, the sponsored project agreement, which is sort of rooted in a standard contractual agreement between the fiscal sponsor, which would be BuildUp Inc., and the sponsored project. So that would be the person or the organization that we are bringing on. Now, because fiscal sponsorship in itself is rooted in this sort of like IRS tax-exempt ideology, there's a whole lot of items and aspects that are kind of mandated in there. One of those concepts is that BuildUp Inc., the fiscal sponsor, has to maintain control over the funding because BuildUp Inc. is the fiscal sponsor, is the 501c3 entity, right? And if you don't maintain control, then there's all these tax implications, et cetera, et cetera. For BIPOC and women-led organizations, particularly ones that are really just getting started out, that idea of not being able to control your funding is a very scary idea. Because for BIPOC and women-led organizations and for these communities, there is a history of not being able to have control over your own funding, over your own programs, over the things that are happening to you. And so to have this contract that in so many ways spells out different ways in which you do not have control, it is very daunting. And one of the things that we had to do early on, and it was a fantastic thing, was we sat down and we worked out new language with the sponsored projects in a way that creates a more comfortable way of sharing this type of control. So it still holds up in terms of what the IRS is looking for, but it provides several different safeguards and a lot of sort of communication that has to happen that allows for the sponsored projects to be comfortable with the arrangement. And we think that's very, very important because when we're talking about being relational and we're talking about really and truly working with women in BIPOC-led organizations, it can't just be something that we say. It has to be something that we do. And it has to be something that we do on every level, even down to the paperwork. And so that's the type of thing that we look forward to doing. And that's what we think sets us apart. And that's what we think is so critical and so important in BuildUp Inc.'s existence.
I completely agree. I think language really matters, right? And we talk a lot about, at least within BuildUp companies, values-based contracting. And that sponsorship agreement, you would think at that point, it's just the paper that is going to move this all along and the relationship building is happening outside of it. But to your point, language really matters. And so what are you saying in that agreement that might feel completely different to what you have been saying up to that point, right? How does it impact the relationship building that's happening with the projects and the leaders that we're working with? So I appreciate how BuildUp Inc. is thinking about this and being so, again, this word keeps coming up, deliberate in how you all are working with each other and with projects. I've said this word a few times, but I will say it again, because I do think that it has come through really clearly in the conversation that we've been having, and that is the word deliberate, right? I think as you all have talked about the work that you're doing, your approach to the work, just even what you're planning next, right? It makes me think about how intentional you're being with that, how you're thinking about the capacity and support that the organizations that you're working with really need and really re-envisioning fiscal sponsorship. So I'm really looking forward to continuing the conversation. To close us out, I would love to ask you a question to help us continue to build knowledge through books and people we should learn from or about. What book do you think we should read next? Or what artist do you think we should be paying attention to?
So I'll go first.
Okay, go ahead, Amanda.
Amanda. I called myself Amandi, which is hilarious. But so I've been listening a lot to Megan Thee Stallion's new song, Cobra, because I think it speaks to how much she has gone through trials and has worked through it and has come out, I would say, on top. It's like a reflection of the importance of mental health, and especially mental health for Black women, right? Giving yourself grace, seeking support. She has, I think, a new initiative on providing therapy. And I think she's been doing this previously. I mean, she talks about how bad bees have bad days too. And I think she has an initiative where she provides therapy specifically to Black women. And I'm just like really inspired by her. I think she's very brave for what she's done, and especially in the industry that she is, to be vulnerable and to call for and bring attention to mental health, I think is just amazing. So listen to Cobra.
Thanks, Amanda. Yeah, I think that song is pretty powerful. So thank you for sharing it, and we'll add it to the show notes. Ajani.
Ooh. So actually, Megan Thee Stallion is like one of my top two favorite artists of all time for every reason Amanda said. I'm going to add two names to the list. One is a music artist, Black Thought, the lead singer, rapper from the band The Roots. I think he's the greatest lyricist of all times. And everything he says just is always packed with layers and meanings. I would encourage anyone and everyone to listen to any album, either from The Roots or to pick up an album from Black Thought. Just randomly, one of my favorite tracks right now is called Aquamarine. And he says things like, his name is Tariq Trotter. His real name is Tariq. So he says things like, "The morning star Tariq, I was born to be a teacher. Whether scorpion or the frog, the nature of the creature is to evolve. Though it's the savage beast we truly are, my words should be studied up in Berkeley and Juilliard. All my bars is hard as solid gold bullion. My name in the Quran like the kingdom of Suleiman." And he just goes on and on like that. And to me, it's just it's very significant for lots of reasons. For example, just even the ongoing debate of the academic scholarly nature of rap music, whether it should be introduced in higher academia courses, and he addresses that directly. He also infuses his faith throughout the music as someone practicing Islam and so forth. So there's just a lot happening every time that he speaks. The other name that I'll put out there is a writer, my favorite author, would be Nnedi Okorafor. That's two N's, N-N-E-D-I, Okorafor. She is the vanguard of a genre of writing called African Futurism. That is not to be confused with Afrofuturism, which has the hyphen in it. And I emphasize that because she emphasizes the difference therein. African Futurism, in so many words, it basically looks at the continent of Africa and focuses on the stories there without also having this focus on what's outside of Africa. So when you look at what's happening like in Europe or the US or the quote unquote Western world, all of that is on the periphery and it only rarely gets mentioned. And in a lot of her novels, you look at things that are considered sort of, you know, spectacular, like alien landings or you know, machine uprisings. But in her novels, these things happen on the African continent and they happen as if they were normal. So you have something called the Binti Trilogy, where one of the premise there is that aliens landed a long time ago somewhere in, I want to say in that trilogy, it's somewhere in Nigeria, but it might have been elsewhere. But the point is, aliens landed in Africa a long time ago, and they integrated in different portions of the continent in different ways. And so you have scholars from different African countries who are traveling the stars and going to universities, and you're not hearing one mention at all, like what's happening to the US, what's happening to the UK. Like, it really centers Africa as a continent, as, you know, as in so many ways. So a specific book I would recommend would be, there's always two with me. One would be Who Fears Death, which is a novel centering on a young woman and sort of, you know, these, we'll call them magic powers that she obtains. And then another one would be Akata Witch. Akata being, I forget the language. I want to say it's Igbo, but it could be Yoruba. So my apologies for not remembering. But Akata being a slang word for a foreign Black person. But Akata Witch, about a young woman who basically finds her way into this magic world. And I think Amanda might have read it as well. But anyway, I would recommend those two books as starting points for Nnedi Okorafor.
That's really powerful. And I will make sure that all of the artists that you've shared and the books that the titles of the books that you've shared and the author as well, Ajani, is included. They're all included in our show notes so that others can just dig in to all of the wonderfulness that you all have been describing in these artists' work. So thank you for sharing. And I think it's also really appropriate that you both named hip hop artists, rap artists in the 50th year celebration of hip hop. So I appreciate that as well. Again, this conversation has been so incredibly touching and powerful. And I know that we've talked about just Build Up Inc. coming online from last year and to now, you know, fast forward to now and looking at all of the amazing work that you all have been able to facilitate and lead. It's just incredible. So I do want to just take a moment to appreciate all of the hard work the Build Up Inc. team has put in to get Build Up Inc. to the point where we can talk about what does 2024 look like and what is our approach and how do we want to make sure that we're showing up differently. So I'm very excited to see what comes next, to see as we continue to build out Build Up Inc. and provide capacity and support for the projects that we're working with. So thank you all for sharing all of your wisdom, your critical thinking, and just your vision for the work that you're doing. And so thank you again so much for your time and your ability to give tools to leaders to help them build bravely. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Nick.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Nonprofit Build Up. To access the show notes, additional resources, and information on how you can work with us, please visit our website at buildupadvisory.com. We invite you to listen again next week as we share another episode about scaling impact by building infrastructure and capacity in the nonprofit sector. Keep building bravely.